Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire. Presented by Traeger, your full-service safety partner.
5 o'clock fire. Congratulations, you're off work. And luckily for you, Old Dirty and Show have the latest for you. And the Texans draft was the big news and still the big news. And their first pick, third round and 67th pick, Davis Mills out of Stanford, about his ability to be ready and if he's capable to be a starter in the NFL right now.
If Deshaun Watson isn't there for whatever reason, I'm not sure he is going to be sitting on the sidelines. So, you know, he might be the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans as opposed to being a college starting quarterback. So in that way, it would have worked out. But do I think he's ready? Do I think he's capable? The answer to both of those is yes.
All right, that's David Shaw, thinks he's ready and capable. I know you, Clint, weren't a fan of drafting quarterback there at 67. Now that they've drafted the quarterback, now you've heard more, seen more, listening to David Shaw, what's your feelings about that pick since it happened?
Well, I don't like the Texans taking a quarterback in the third round with their first pick of the 2021 draft. I don't like it. That hadn't changed one bit. I still don't like it. I don't think that was the position to draft there, even if it were best available, the position to draft there that's best for the team this year or 3 years down the road. But with that said, I like Davis Mills as a quarterback in the NFL. I think it's a roll of the dice. It's a big time roll of the dice for the Houston Texans. You got a quarterback that's had injury issues. You got a quarterback that's got a very small sample size of starting games at the Power Five level in college, and you got an experience issue because of the injuries. I think you got a mobility issue. The kid can move, but clearly he's had a bum knee twice. I mean, you got to be concerned about that. So I don't like the pick for the Texans. I think for a quarterback, even if you did hit the nail on the head, when you get to Houston, you're surrounded with dysfunction. You're in the middle of a rebuild. I liken it back to my time in Dallas. They drafted Quincy Carter. Quincy Carter, now he was his own worst enemy, but Quincy Carter had to deal with a ton of things that winning organizations didn't force their quarterback to deal with. There were things going on within the organization that made it damn near impossible for the quarterback to have success. And so I see this move with the Texans as very similar. Third-round quarterback, some concerns, and if he does play, the odds are going to be stacked against him. So I don't like the pick being a quarterback. Davis Mills as a prospect in the NFL, I can get down with it. You know very little, but he's got an extremely high ceiling. If he can develop, then you've got a player that you got really, really, really good value in a third-round pick.
It feels like with Davis Mills, it feels like if the Texans had a first or second round pick, hell, just one of them, not to mention if they had both of them, you'd feel so much better about this pick.
Yeah.
Like if they, but the it's the fact that, and we use this word, their premium pick, their number one pick in a tear-down rebuild situation they used on a player where you're like, damn, is he gonna help you? Like, how soon before he helps you? Hell, is he gonna get on the field this year? And that is the part where you're like, if they had a first or second round pick, you feel a lot different about him. But they don't. This is their first pick. And I remember John Harris saying, well, they need to hit a home run with their third round pick. That's what he said to us. We had him on last week. And they may. Maybe Davis Mills is going to be a home run eventually. But the odds are not in his favor, especially at that position that you know.
Yeah, look, show the odds of that third round pick becoming just a grand slam home run, knock it out of the park, serious contributor for your organization is I don't know. I bet it's 50% or less.
But now, certainly lower with a quarterback.
Bingo, that's where I was going with it. Now that you add that it's a quarterback that's had some injury issues with a knee, that's had a very, very little experience at the college level, I think the odds of hitting that grand slam with that most premium pick that you did have, I think is very minimal. And that's my only concern. Look, if this guy ends up being a great player in 2 years from now, then we're all gonna have to eat crow. But for me, this year, doing everything you could to help this football team rebuild would have been my approach to the draft. The best available draft pick is not going to be what's best for the football team in a sense of building depth and adding talent to your skill position.
I so wonder if Kellen Mond was available, who they would have gone with. Because it seemed like they were going to draft a quarterback. And if Kellen Mond and Davis Mills were sitting there together, I wonder if they go Kellen Mond.
It would be an easy decision, right? I mean, I think you got to make your decision. Do you want the guy that you know what you're getting, that's been a four-year starter, that's his whole resume is what he's been able to do, overcome coach change, you know, a coaching change and you know, ends on a high note, but you know what you're getting from a guy because there's a four-year sample size, or do you want the guy that's a little bit more gifted from a talent standpoint, but you don't know what you're getting? You hadn't seen enough to know anything about the guy. So do you want to take the gamble, or do you want to take the for sure? The Texans and Nick Caserio apparently had no problem rolling the dice.
No.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the rest of the draft class, Clint, and it goes outside after their first pick of Davis Mills, the quarterback from Stanford. They then go with Michigan wide receiver Nico Collins in the third round. They move up to go get him. Then they also, in the fifth round, get tight end from Miami, Brevin Jordan, as well as TCU linebacker Garrett Wallow and Arizona defensive tackle Roy Lopez with their last pick. Their last two picks were the defensive side of the ball. What did you think about the rest of the guys they got, and did anybody jump out to you?
Look, I think when you look at their whole draft class, when you look at the players in a vacuum, not what they needed or the fact they didn't have a one or two, take all that crap off the table and just look at the five guys they ended up with and where they got them, I think you got to be happy about the player in itself. I mean, I love Nico Collins. When I look at what the Texans needed at the wide receiver position, it was a big-bodied receiver that you could put to the boundary. If they start rolling coverage away from him, he's an advantage in one-on-one matchups. I don't care if it's the quick game, the deep throws, the back shoulder, the 50-50 balls, he's an advantage. As long as they keep a safety over the top, then you can run the football. If they bring him to the middle of the field or they bring him down in the box, now you've got a physical matchup one-on-one. You get down in the red zone, Nico Collins should be a big-time advantage. You look at Brevin Jordan, the tight end from Miami. He is a guy that's a move tight end. A good coordinator will use him pre-snap to create opportunities for everybody on the field, including the running game. And so, I mean, and he is a guy. The one thing about him, he is a playmaker. He's an athlete. He is very – who was it that compared him? It was just Booger McFarland compared him to Jonnu Smith, who signed with the
– Not a great blocker, a position blocker, but a guy.
Hey, everybody here knows who the hell he is, show. That sucker took one. I mean, he can roll now. And so he's the one that sucked up Whitney Merciless when he got a pick on like the 1 yard line. But anyway, I mean that's the kind of
you
athlete
get anything
that
close
get
to Jonnu Smith out of the fifth round right. from yes. Brevin Jordan, yes. Miami. Yes, then this was a steal. Hell, John Harris had him ranked like 37th, 38th.
Yeah,
in his top 100.
Yeah,
that's a hell of a drop. I mean, John Harris has him ranked 37th or 38th. He's drafted 147.
Yep. Yeah, man. I mean, that's what I'm telling you. If you look at just each one of these guys in a vacuum, I think it's hard to be disappointed with the talent that they got in this draft. It sucks there's only five of them. You know, it sucks that it's third round and later. But all things considered, with what they had to play, with what Nick Caserio had to play with, man, I don't have a problem with any of these picks.
I think the two there, when you look at Collins and Jordan, the wide receiver and the tight end that you kind of talked about there, those are the ones you like, because something that the Texans have really struggled to do here of late, whether that's in free agency or drafts, they've just had players not consistently play above what they've maybe been drafted or above what they get paid, right? And these two guys coming at pick 89 and at 147, when you look at Nico Collins and Brevin Jordan, those two look like guys that have the potential, Clint, to play above where they're drafted.
Yep.
And that would be refreshing for the Texans. I'm sure Texans fans would love to hear that.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Astros, they lose Sunday. They lose 5-4. They were in it. Christian Javier goes 5, gives up 3, but gives them a chance to win. But overall, the weekend, they win another series on the road at Tampa. They're 15-13. Lance McCullers was fantastic on Friday night, was special in that game. He goes 7 innings and doesn't give up anything. And then Jose Urquidy follows him up on Saturday with a really good performance as well, as they take 2 or 3 from the Rays. They get the day off today and then head to New York, playing, you could argue right now, the best baseball they've played all season when you start to put together the starting pitching and the lineup.
Well, knock on wood, they've got everybody in the lineup.
Yep.
Unless it's by Dusty's choice that they're not. And it appears that Christian Javier and Lance McCullers are putting some good outings together. And I
That's
think
big.
You know, you don't worry about Greinke. He's an old veteran. He's gonna have some good, some bad. When it comes crunch time, you can take Greinke to the bank, I believe, unless he proves us wrong. Yeah. So I mean, I think the Astros. It was a good series. Had some things come together, and you're heading to New York, and it hopefully when you get there, you're hitting on all cylinders, both at the plate and off the mound, and we'll see what happens. It's a big series though. I mean, they got an opportunity to get some significant wins here, some big-time wins here over the next couple of series.
I think both teams will be up for that series.
I would imagine so, yes.
With the fan base, it's going to be probably a really, really good atmosphere for the Astros when they go to Yankee Stadium.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, a little news from the NFL, and I know Clint is always excited about these moves with these young quarterbacks, but the Buffalo Bills announced Monday that they have exercised their options for the 2022 season on the contracts of their quarterback, Josh Allen, and then their linebacker, Tremaine Edmonds. Both of them were first-round draft picks, and they've exercised their options. They're playing this the way that you would say teams should play it with their quarterbacks, not just saying, all right, we're going to go ahead and wrap him up right now and take care of him, making him play at least another year before they make a decision on going ahead and extending him long term.
Yeah, to me, this is an easy decision. I mean, I like when I look at the quarterbacks across the league right now that are next up, you got Josh Allen, you got Lamar Jackson. I need to see another year from both of these guys to see if they can develop into
Baker's will.
Cerebral quarterback. Yep, yeah. Good point. Baker as well. I need to see another year from these guys to see if they can mature between the ears, play the game from the pocket. We know they're not Baker, but we know the other two are great athletes. But you can't consistently win games in the playoffs being a great athlete. If anything, Lamar Jackson has proven that. You can win consistently in a regular season with it, but when you get to the playoffs, you better be able to go above and beyond playing the game left-handed. And I think both of these guys, I just want to see another year from Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson before I give them $40 million a year plus.
Hopefully, for Texans fans, they have multiple first-round picks. And, boy, coming up soon, boy, if they could pull off similar to what Buffalo did in a draft, getting their starting middle linebacker and then an MVP-type candidate and Josh Allen at quarterback, that would be huge for the Texans when that comes up. Nick Caserio, he was on Payne and Pendergast earlier this morning, and he may give insight on why the Texans weren't defensive heavy in this draft. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
If you missed the general manager, Nick Caserio, he was on Payne and Pendergast earlier today. Use that Odyssey app. You can use that Odyssey Rewind to listen to that. But a lot of people, and us included, were curious that the Texans, it took them until their fourth pick before they decided to go defense. And Nick Caserio kind of gives maybe some insight on the thought process of how they approached the draft.
When we went into the offseason, in terms of the roster construction, our goal was to try to create as much competition as possible. And I think we had the mindset that volume was going to be the case in the kind of March period, because that's how we viewed it. Coach Kelly and I and the staff had a lot of discussions about it, and that was the mentality and the mindset that we approached it with.
All right, a volume in the offseason, and when you look at it, yes, there was a lot of volume, over 70 moves made, and there was a fair amount made on the defensive side of the ball, and I don't know, maybe that is the reasoning why we saw them attack it the way they did.
Well, yeah, look, I mean, I think when you hear him talk about just creating as much volume and competition as he possibly can, and then you couple that with the fact that a good chunk of their free agent signings were on the defensive side of the football, clearly they have confidence in the guys that they signed to do what they're asking everybody to do, which we've consistently heard from Nick Caserio, is just create as much competition as possible. I was not aware. I mean, I was obviously aware that they signed a bunch of linebackers, a bunch of different players, and a good chunk of them on the defense side of the football. But I was not under the impression that they had found the guys that they needed, and that there still wasn't room to grow there through the draft. Clearly, what this tells me with the Houston Texans drafting offense in their top three picks in the draft is what you just heard. They feel like they had created enough volume and competition on the defensive side of the football with the free agent signings. They clearly feel better about the defensive free agents they signed than I do.
Will second that.
Well, I mean, look, I don't know if it's
what was the foursome you said you saw earlier. I said
all the outside linebackers that they're going to transition to defensive. Oh, you talking about that? I don't remember who it was, but it was just somebody threw out if the season started today, the Texans starting defensive line would be Shaq Lawson on one end, Whitney Merciless on the other end, Charles Omenihu and Ross Blacklock inside, which that just ain't going to get it done. I mean,
hell no.
I mean,
they couldn't stop the run with JJ out there.
Right, right. Yeah, that's not going to get it done. So, I mean, it's one of those where, it's one thing to like the guys you have. You've created competition. But I thought the draft would be that third round pick specifically would be an opportunity to get either an interior defensive lineman or a corner that you could bank on long term. And they chose to go offense. Clearly, according to what we just heard Nick Caserio say, is they've got the number of players they want on defense, and that may change between now and the time that camp starts. But for right now, they put themselves in a position through free agency where they could go best available, and best available happened to be offensive players.
Yeah, it was from the text line. I believe Collins, Jordan, and Wallow will all be starters by next year. I mean, if they're able to hit like that, then yeah. But I mean, generally the odds are a third round pick and 2 5th round picks. Even with a team that is like the Texans is built, odds are that is not something that generally occurs. That guys
right.
that far
yeah,
back
yeah,
becomes
that, that that would be three starters out of the five, given the top one is a quarterback. Your first overall draft pick this year was a quarterback, and if you're not counting him and the Texans hit on three of the other four draft picks as starters, yeah, I would say that was a pretty damn good, that'd be a pretty damn good job. I hope you're right. I mean, I think they could damn sure be contributors. Hell, I'd throw Lopez in there, that big D tackle they got. I mean, hell,
oh, Roy.
He should be able to contribute at the very least.
try.
I mean, good gosh, he should be able to contribute. So, yeah, look, we'll see. I just think that it was at first glance, when you look at the top three draft picks all being offense and the number one being a quarterback that's probably not going to help you for the next year or so. I was thrown back a little bit.
I was thrown because you named about a lot of the guys on the outside, right? And if the thought is are starting defensive ends, right? Because this is not a 3-4 where they're outside linebackers that stand up. Our starting defensive ends are Shaq Lawson and Whitney Mercilus, who have traditionally been 3-4 outside linebackers.
Right.
You don't even have anybody really, maybe Charles Amenihu fits that, but you just don't really have people with the body type of a natural 4-3 defensive end that is generally 6-4, 270, 290, something like that. It was just odd to thought that.
Yeah, look, I read that somewhere. I don't know where I read that, but the fact that that's even a possibility in somebody's mind is like, what are we doing?
But also, Clint, they didn't draft anybody that fits that.
Right.
Like in free agency or in the draft, they didn't bring anybody that fits that body type. Clint Sterner in the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. It was also interesting how the Nico Collins pick developed because this was the guy they moved up. All right, they gave a fourth round pick for next year to help get him. They move up from 109 to 89. Here's Nick Caserio, who was on Payne and Pendergast earlier, discussing how that went about.
The later picks, probably not as much. In that fifth, sixth round, when you just move up a few spots, I mean, you're talking about 2-6 or the point. You know, it's about 30, 40 points. They moved from 109 to 89. So essentially, it was a fifth round pick. And then we ended up throwing in the fourth round pick. And I think that was more of a case of, as we were working through the third round, once we made the initial pick, we were sitting there at 109 and we're looking at the players that we had graded at a certain level. And quite frankly, they started to come off pretty quickly. So we were looking at what's our opportunity, kind of do a cost benefit analysis and look at what are our options relative to where we have the players graded, who's going to be left. So that as we worked through it, we looked up and said, okay, you know, this is a player that we feel we have some degree of conviction on. So what's the cost of the move? Then here's what it cost. And we just went ahead and made the move, understanding that if we waited, we might have lost another group of players. So again, it was more about maneuvering and just trying to take advantage of an opportunity that we felt made sense for us and to get a player that we felt we liked and had some degree of conviction on.
Yeah, interesting. They felt like they had to go get him because players were coming off the board in an area that they felt great.
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly they feel like, let's just say it, there were 90 prospects that were in a certain pool of players, and after 90, that talent level in the remaining pool of players fell considerably. And so you look at what it would cost to move up inside the 90 and get one of those caliber picks that you have, you know, slated in the 90 and in that pool of players. And they saw an opportunity to do that. And it makes me sound like, you know, it's less about the player and more about putting yourself in position to select one of the players that are in that tier of athlete coming out in the draft. And they did that, and boom, the player that they ended up deciding on is Nico Collins, who happened to be if you look specifically at the receiver position, I don't think just generally speaking the receiver position was in need of another body, but when you look specifically in need of a big body that just so happens to be able to run, that has landed at that point in the draft, it was not only best available according to what the Texans think, but it was a damn good fit for a player that they didn't currently have on their roster. They didn't currently have a 6'4", 220-pound receiver that could go 4-4 on their roster. You know, and it's and I, you know, I heard Nick Caserio earlier also, not that cut right there, but a different one where he's talking about Nico Collins is just a big man. Like, he's just a big-boned, big-bodied dude. He's not a guy that's carrying a little more weight or, you know, for one reason or another is a little heavier than he should be. He's like this – he's just a large human. And – you know, that's that having that in the wide receiver room now with the Texans, that was something they didn't have before. So you can chalk that up as a pretty good size need.
And the thing that I pencil in my memory bank with this is Nick Caserio, unlike many people compared him to Bill Belichick, you can kind of take to the bank sometimes the things that he said. Remember what he said? Player driven to go move up. That is how this thing goes about. And that executed exactly that way. Yep. Nico Collins was somebody that it was player driven for him to go and move up and make a play for it. And he said that's how they go about and do things, and they executed it. They executed that, and it wasn't just smokescreen or anything like that. So that was something that I pencil in my mind too. And Nico Collins, he's one of those cats that you have to like, because he was in a system that's not always great for receivers like him. Like the quarterback play he had, the offense they ran, they were running it. I don't know if you got to see the best from him due to where he was.
I think it's safe to say that when you look at what Michigan's done the last few years, they haven't done a very good job of producing film that showcases their receiver's ability. I think that's fair. For one reason or another, they haven't done a good job of that. Oklahoma, you know, the schools like that. Alabama, obviously.
Clemson has.
I mean, they do a really good job of putting guys in position to be successful. I can't say it's the case for Michigan.
Texas A&M, all those schools, they've
listen to you.
They've done it.
Yeah, you can shove it.
Okay. All right, I tried. All right. Three things that Texans fans can take away from what happened in this draft this weekend. Three things that Texans fans can take away. That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Oh, we're back on the air, aren't we? I'm going to push my cell phone here a little bit.
Hold on,
sir. Almost caught the in-break conversations from one Ron, the show, Hughley, and Clint Sterner. Here with you on Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. So listen, the draft was big this weekend. Clint, give me some takeaways. Give me some takeaways. And 713-572-4610, you can text in as well. I want to hear your takeaways. Give me some takeaways on what Texans fans could get from the draft this weekend.
Well, I think when you look at what they did early in the draft, I say early in the draft, early in their draft, which was Friday and Saturday, I think the fact that they took three straight offensive players and they took best available that happened to be offensive players, I think it's safe to say that the Texans, Nick Caserio, and this coaching staff, they feel pretty good about the free agents that they signed on the defensive side of the football. I was under the impression that they still need help. I'm still under the impression that they need a lot of help on the defensive side of the football. They need some cheap labor on the defensive side of the football. Those draft picks would have been better used to create some depth and some talent on the defensive unit and on special teams. But nonetheless, they went offense, and so that tells me, show that they feel pretty good about the veteran free agents that they signed leading up to the draft.
Yeah, I guess my question is, all right, where they are, this is, you coined it. You said, to hell with rebuild. This thing is a teardown.
Yeah.
This is a teardown. Where they are in their teardown, trying to get to rebuilding this, that's my question, is does this draft set them back? Because that was my feeling initially when we were all here together watching the draft, was, God, they draft this quarterback. Does this get them to a place where it potentially sets them back?
No. I think from a numbers standpoint, you know, they probably are in a good spot in terms of, we heard Nick Caserio talk about volume, which just means how many bodies do you have that fit the scheme that Lovie Smith wants to implement? Mm-hmm. They probably feel really good about those bodies and the competition that they're going to create over there with the guys they have. I wouldn't say it set them back. I mean, look, they know more than we do in a sense of how they feel about those particular free agents that they signed and the competition that they're going to be generating.
Or also how long they have.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're on a normal leash.
Yeah, but the only reason I push back on that shows is like I don't know that drafting defense in the top three picks that they had this year would have changed the timeline. I think it would have just addressed a major need that you have on the defensive side of the football, like at several different positions at every level of the defense. There were major issues. And I think I don't know that it affected a timeline.
Okay.
And ultimately I don't know long term, to be honest with you, that impacted it at all. Because, like I said, they clearly think more highly of the guys that they signed in free agency than we did. You know, that I mean, they think more highly of Dunn inside, Blacklock inside, big boy they signed from Denver, Walker.
Kid from Minnesota they signed.
Right. And then they feel obviously a lot better about all these linebackers and what they're gonna do with the former regime's 3-4 scheme that had guys playing in a 2-point stance, and now they're gonna put them in a 3-point and they're gonna play the 4-3. I mean, they clearly have a better feeling about all that than I do. I just don't like the thought of your success on defense hinges on Charles Omenihu's ability to play inside or any of those linebackers' ability to make that transition. They could care less about winning ball games next year. I get that. But you ultimately want to make sure that you're steadily chipping wood and putting yourself in a consistent fashion to where you're putting you're solving problems as we go. And, you know, I don't know, Show. Clearly, they feel better about the free agents they signed than we do.
They feel like they're the draft was not a priority and feeling like they needed to add pieces.
Yeah, I think Nick Caserio approached the draft if we're going to take best available.
Yeah, and with the thought of not that they're not caring about winning next year, but the thought of the priority, the number one thing, isn't for us to be 9-7 or 10-8 whatever it is.
No, look, it's very easy right now in hindsight to sit here and go, well, Nick Caserio clearly is just going to put as many quality young players as he can in the locker room. That's obvious, right? In hindsight, very obvious what Nick Caserio's doing is. It doesn't matter, you know, filling a specific need, even though it's a desperate need on either side of the football, that's not the priority right now, at least the draft priority. The draft priority was best player available. Let's add 5 quality young men, good athletes, to the locker room. That's easy to see in hindsight. It's interesting that the biggest needs were on the defensive side of the football, whether you're talking about the talent level or you were talking about the number of voids on the defensive side of the football,
and you
waited until the very end of the draft to draft him. It's interesting. We'll see how it works out, but I think it's easy to see at this point what Nick did going into the draft.
Clint Sterner in the show here with you discussing takeaways that Texans fans need to have from the draft, and we'll hear from yours, 713-572-4610. You can text, call in, what your takeaways were. First, you said the thought that they went offense heavy, especially early, and didn't really go so much defense. What's another takeaway for you from this draft?
I think it's clear that Pep Hamilton has a big voice in the building with the Texans. I think it's clear that the organization is leaning on Pep Hamilton. And I think we all speculated about Pep Hamilton and what his input would be with this team. He's not the offensive coordinator. He's the passing game coordinator, the quarterback coach. So, I mean, there's plenty of reason to question what is Pep Hamilton's role here? How significant of a role is he going to play if Tim Kelly's the offensive coordinator? Well, the way that this draft rolled out, I think it's pretty clear that Pep Hamilton is a bigger voice than we thought in the building with the Texans.
You brought it up. It begs the question of where does Tim Kelly fit?
Yeah.
Right now. Like, where does he fit? You would just assume like all the pieces that they bring in seem to fit, either fit what Pep Hamilton you would think would want to do, or at least he has a really big connection with so many pieces that they've brought in to bring in. And it just, it's hard to see, Clint, it is hard to see the Texans running the offense that Tim Kelly runs with the personnel that they have, especially at quarterback. And now they've drafted this kid, Davis Mills, who has a big connection with him. It is hard to see the Texans going into the Bill O'Brien, Tim Kelly style of offense with everything they've done.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I don't think Tim Kelly or Bill O'Brien's offense are what we're going to see out of the Texans moving forward. I refuse to believe that from the day one when they decided to keep Tim Kelly. I assumed Pep Hamilton would be a bigger voice in the building, but we didn't know. We just sit over there. I mean, I don't know why you'd keep a guy and not give him input and give him the title of offensive coordinator. And not allow him to call the shots. But it's clear that Pep's the guy that, at least in terms of draft, the top two draft picks in this draft for the Texans, they were tied directly to Pep Hamilton. There was either the knowledge that Pep Hamilton had or the ability he had to pick up the phone and get some very trustworthy information from David Shaw. Either way it goes, he had a strong hand in Davis Mills, the first selection by the Texans, and Nico Collins, the second selection.
Yeah. Clint Sterner in the show here with you, 713-572-4610. What are your takeaways from the draft? Corey, I'm going to let you jump in here. Corey, what's your thoughts from the Texans after their draft?
Well, Sean Clint, right now I'm just going to say, as Houstonians and his football fans said, Davis Mills could give us a glimmer of hope that it might soften the blow when we do have to trade Deshaun Watson, because I think that he's gone one way or the other. He's going to be suspended, or they're going to, you know, trade them. So he shows us a glimmer of hope. I think if Houstonians, we'll just let it go with Deshaun and we'll just ride with him. And I wanted to get y'all's thought on that.
Hold on, Corey. Are you saying that Davis Mills gave you a glimmer of hope after he was drafted?
I mean, y'all are like the experts, but we look at YouTube too, and it's like when the ball comes out this dude's hand, it pops out his hands, and he throws like with power on a rope. If he could just show us that he has any kind of capability of being a starter, losing to Sean won't hurt as much as it would if we didn't get anything back. You know what I mean? It's like if Houstonians were waiting for something to give us a chance to cheer the Texans again, and I think we're hearing what Brian Shaw says in all the shows today on 610 on the Odyssey station, by the way, that everybody's giving us some hope that if we do let this kid play and he shows us, he might not win that many games, but we see he has intangibles. We see that he's a leader. We're going to rival him because I know that's what we do for our sports team.
Yeah, Corey, I'm not telling you to back off of it. I just wanted to make sure and get it clarified. I appreciate the call. I wonder how many people felt like hope from him. Glad they've got a guy in.
Well, I think he mixed an if in there, but okay. You know, if Davis Mills can give the fan base some hope, I think it'd be easier to get beyond Deshaun Watson. There's no doubt about that. And look, I mean, here's the deal with who you have in Davis Mills. You got a quarterback that, yeah, there's a lot of red flags, so to speak, and easy all my softies out there. Red flags ain't the end of the world. It's just the fact of the matter. There's some injuries. There's a small sample size. There's some issues in his past. There's some red flags. But clearly this kid he's got some skill that I think is well beyond third round skill. I really believe that. I mean, obviously we'll see what happens. And obviously it was the roll of the dice by the Texans for a reason, but to think that this kid couldn't go out there and embrace this opportunity, whatever the opportunity may be, and be ready to play if and when David Culley puts him on the field, and go out there and be, if he's got that hit factor, if he's got that intangible of being able to lead guys, professionals, you know, in the NFL, then I'm sure that's what we'll see. But it's all out there for the taking. There is a huge opportunity with the Houston Texans right now for a quarterback, whoever the hell that may be. We all assume it's going to be Tyrod Taylor, but there's a huge opportunity for whoever the quarterback may be to take the bull by the horns and start taking the leadership role in this locker room. There is a void. You know, multiple times. There is a serious void of leadership in this locker room. It's there. Who's going to take it? It could be Davis Mills. Who knows?
That was the thing that jumped out. Is you said you feel like this is a guy who does, to you, at least have a high ceiling.
He's a high ceiling guy, no question.
Yeah, no question.
There's arm talent, arm strength. There is a poise about him. And I look, whether we're listening to him talk about being a winner, or we're talking about watching the film, or you listen to John Harris talk about who watches more film than anybody, or you listen to David Shaw, his college coach, the word that pops to mind immediately is poise. You can't coach it. Either a quarterback has it or he does it. And the way to define poise is there's an abnormal calmness in the middle of chaos, whether it's on the field, off the field, injury, talking about injuries, or talking about a small sample size and not a lot of time to get ready, whatever it may be, whatever kind of adversity strikes this kid, he appears to have some serious poise at a young age, and that's rare. And if that'll come in handy in taking over the quarterback position in the middle of a rebuild. Because I'll tell you, I likened this draft pick, Davis Mills for the Texans, to when I was with the Cowboys and Quincy Carter was drafted. I think it was the second round by the Cowboys I think it was the first year of after Aikman and all that. And the one thing that Quincy didn't have a lot of good around him. He didn't have the support necessary.
They didn't put him in the greatest spot.
Right. They didn't, which that's what rebuilding teams do. They neglect certain things because they have no choice.
They've seen it here, David Carr.
Right. But there's, you know, when I say that, it's Quincy also did not have the poise and the maturity to deal with what was thrown his way. Like, whether it was fair or not is irrelevant. Like Davis Mills is going to be in the Texans locker room. There's going to be things that are thrown at him, expectations, adversities, responsibilities. There's going to be things that are thrown at him that are unfair. It's going to happen. Now, how does he respond to that? Again, bull by the horns, lead, be accountable, take credit for the mistakes, and through that process, does the team just naturally gravitate to him in those adverse times? Quincy didn't have that. You know, things went bad for Quincy when he started turning on folks, and it didn't work out in a good way for him, and he failed in those moments. So Davis Mills is going to be presented some very similar circumstances, and how he responds to it is going to determine whether he's worth the damn in a Texans uniform or not.
All right, CJ, I'll let you jump in here. CJ, what's your takeaway from the draft? Go ahead.
Hey, love your guys' show, and I respect your guys' opinion, and I agree with it quite a bit. I think a lot of people are, I think with Caserio, just from looking at the situation that, drafting a quarterback, I think he, is going to trade Watson, and whether it's a suspension and halfway through this year or something, but I do think that they'll get some value for him. And the Texans could have, multiple first-round picks next year and multiple second-round picks, with the Watson trade. And, other than the quarterback, that shocked me. The rest of the draft pick, I agree with you guys. I think that they are going to benefit the team this year. And definitely next year. And I think we had a good draft. I would rather have 8 than 5. But I do think that next year we're going to be loaded with picks, because I think Watson's going, and we'll get a couple of ones, a couple of twos. Maybe even a little more than that. So I think the draft was pretty good, and I really respect your guys' opinion on the draft so far.
Appreciate it, CJ. And, hey, for all Texans fans, hoping that there is a boatload of picks there for you to really start this rebuild. I felt like the draft was okay. I'm not so certain that you've got guys that are going to be, over the next couple of years, penciled in, or guys that are going to start and contribute like that. There is a chance, which is the only thing that you can ask for, But yeah, see, when he brought up Deshaun and drafting the third, I'm just thinking it from the aspect of, hell, they knew they weren't going to have Deshaun. They didn't just come up to it on draft day. not knowing that Deshaun wasn't going to be a part of this team. And to me, the thought is build everything up so when it's time to get your franchise quarterback and you feel much better about going to get your franchise quarterback, as you just talked about with Quincy, you're putting him in the best position forward and the best support around him.
Yeah, I your point is, like with Davis Mills, he's going to be put in those situations, and if he can rise to the challenge, then there's a chance he could be your guy. You may have found your guy through these tough times, right? I'm not with or without Deshaun Watson at this point in time. I don't know that Davis Mills, there was a need for quarterback with this football team, whether Deshaun's here or not. A young quarterback that's going to be around for a while, that's going to be cheap and be around for a while. So whether Deshaun Watson comes back or not, and he's a Texan or not, there was a need at that position. And that need was filled with a quarterback that has a high ceiling. If Deshaun doesn't come back, if they decide to play him early, Davis Mills, that is, then that'll be fine. But if Deshaun does, for some reason, end up back a Houston Texan, you're still in a really, really good position with a talented young quarterback learning under one of the most talented young quarterbacks in the game. So I have a hard time with how does this impact Deshaun Watson's situation? Is this a sign that Nick Caserio's passed him? Maybe, maybe not. But I think whether he leaves or stays, there was a need at the quarterback position.
There was a need at the quarterback position. Yeah, just we'll see. We'll see what kind of support he has around him, and we'll see how real things are with Davis. Davis Mills is the next quarterback for the Texans. Clint, someone on the text line said, "I'm here." The person you owe a case to said, "I'm here."
All right, man.
I don't know. No, I feel like somebody hurt you.
I feel like I'll go back and check my receipts. And
yeah, you're
going
to need to check that because you're going to have about
can't be just passing
nine
out
people
beauties.
Say, "I'm here."
Can't be passing out them beauties. Been silver bullets, baby.
That's right. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, The Voice. Mark Vandermeer and John Harris, they'll be breaking down more of the draft, and you know they'll be locked and loaded. Great job today, all the moving parts, T-Sleazy, Tyler in the building, great job for you as well, Clint. I am Ron, the Shill Hughley, and as always, Houston, we love you, baby.
I see soccer moms walking up and down the street exercising while talking on the phone. I'm like, that's not exercise. Y'all just chit-chatting. Who exercises on the phone? Like, you're...
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.